welcome you to our service, especially those of you that are listening by the way of the internet. We thank God for your presence. And if you're planning on being in Myrtle Beach on April the 9th, we're going to have a sunrise service, Lord willing, if it's good weather. And we will be meeting at 6th Avenue South, right there at the ocean, at 6:30 a.m. And we'll be starting sharp there at 6:30 a.m. You can park at the church. And you can, we'll have a shuttle that runs back and forth there all the way up till 6:30, from 6 a.m. to 6:30. And we would value your presence with us. We'll have our regular service at the same, at regular hours there at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 o'clock at preaching service, and then 1:30 in the afternoon as well. And, but it just make plans to be in the house of the Lord. If you can't be with us, please be where God's put you and be faithful to attend church there. And how we need to be living for Him in these days. And so much the more, the Bible says. And we shouldn't be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's some they don't. But they should. They're wrong. And they should be assembling together. And we need to meet with the Lord, because you can't exhort someone if you're not there. You can't be exhorted if you're not there. So it's imperative that we meet together, and as we serve the Lord, and allow God to get a hold of us and get a hold of our hearts. But I do thank God for your presence, and thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. We need your prayers, and we will pray for you and thank God for you tuning in to this service. If you'd like to find your place in Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7 and Revelations chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 7 will be there first, and then we're going to move over to Revelation chapter 2, and then we're going to be back and forth, and we're going to be comparing some similarities there in those two passages, and as we talk about the church at Thyatira. And this is another message in a series in Turning Points. And if you go back there three Wednesday nights ago, when we spoke about Hannah, how she came to a breaking point or a turning point, and year by year, I think was the title of the message, and just got tired of the same old thing, and she just had to get a hold of God. And God got a hold of her and answered her prayer, and then we looked at Jacob, who got alone with God, and how we need to be alone with Him, and to just let God get a hold of us and change us, and who we ought to be, who He wants us to be. And may the Lord help us in those areas. And then last week we looked at Isaiah, who he too came to a turning point in his life, and it was after the death of King Uzziah. And that's when he saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up, and how we need to see Him in these days and get our minds and our hearts and our eyes on the Lord and not on what's going on around us. And because many good things, I mean, King Uzziah was a good king for the most part. I mean, he allowed his pride to get in the way there, but for the most part, he was a good king, but yet we cannot get focused on what's going on around us. We need to be focused on the Lord and what He has for us to do. And then tonight, we're going to see a turning point, but here, the name of the person, and we'll be mentioning the church at Thyatira, and there will be a name of a person there, but that we're going to look at. But here in Proverbs, here's a young person that came to a negative turning point. Anytime you turn away from the commandments of the Lord, anytime you turn away from the truth of God's Word, when you leave the old landmarks, the old paths, you're going away. That's negative, okay? You're going away from the truth. That's not a positive thing. And the last three messages were a positive turning toward God for help and then for service and surrender and things like that. But here we're going to see the dangers of turning away from the truth. Because here in Proverbs, there's a young man that's going to come to a point in his life where he turned from the commandments. He turned from the truth. He turned from his upbringing. And he left the right paths, and it cost him dearly, the church at Thyatira as well. It'll cost him from turning away from the truth. In Proverbs chapter 7, I trust you found your place. And let's look in verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I look through my casement. And here's where we get the title of the message, God is watching you. God is watching you. And verse 6, I'll read that again. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld. Among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. What he heard, what he saw affected him. That's so important. What he allowed in his life, that influence there. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. What a description of Christianity today. And I'm not talking about the magazine or the online magazine, if you would, of Christianity today, but I'm talking about Christianity in general. You know, now you don't have to look through the casement of your window to see things. All you got to do is just go on your favorite device, computer, tablet, phone, and go on YouTube. And you can pretty much see anything you want through a casement there. And but everything that this writer is describing here in Proverbs chapter 7 is in your face. You can literally watch Christians going down the wrong path. You can watch Christians leaving the commandments and not binding them on their fingers and on their hearts. And you say, well, how did they get there? Well, they failed to keep the things that they had been taught. That's how they got there. They failed to keep the commandments. They failed to keep the law of God. They've left the old paths and looking for new ways and new paths, and they've embraced the ways of the world. They're no longer living in harmony with wisdom and understanding, which comes from rightly dividing the Word of God. They've not bound the truth of God's Word on their fingers and in their heart. But they've succumbed to a more fleshly or sensual desire. Had this simple one that's mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 7 just kept his father's commandments, he would not be showcased, if you would, as being led away by his own desire. This Proverbs points out the fact that you're either in verse 1 through 5 or you're in verse 7 and on. In Proverbs, did you notice there in verse 7 that this young man was not alone? When this Solomon there looked out And his father looked out through the casement, if you would, of his window, and he saw among the youths. He saw among the simple ones. He's not the only one that's mentioned here. In verse 7 it says, "And behold, among these simple ones." That means that they were there together. "I discerned among the youths," that there's, again, it's plural. There's more than one person here, but then there's a young man that gets pointed out that is void of understanding. Here's a young man that is following the course of this world. He's joined out with others who are not holding on to the commandments and the law of God. He's found a gathering, if you would. These simple ones and these youth were once in a place where they heard the truth, where they knew what was right, but they have erred from the truths of God's Word. Here we have a vivid description of the church at Laodicea. We who are holding on to the truth by the grace of God, we can see it in others. We're watching all this unfold in front of our eyes. We're watching where more and more older and younger people are erring from the truth of God's Word. They're getting away from the old paths. We're seeing a generational effect of Christians who have erred from the old paths. Now, they haven't completely fallen off, but they are among those, they were among those that used to be in verses 1 through 5. But now they find themselves halfway, if you would, between the truth and that strange woman's house. With the internet in our days and churches putting everything that they do on display for everyone to see what they're doing, we too can see people who once held to the commandments. They had them bound on their fingers and on their hearts, but now they've joined the ranks or they're on the way to joining the ranks of those who have departed from the paths of righteousness. I was watching a service the other day, and there was a time where the pastor of that church, he was an evangelist, he used to be an evangelist, and being used of the Lord to rally God's people in the old paths and to hold on to what was right. But now in his church, I mean, he's leaning the other way. He's starting to err from what he once used to preach against and stand against. Embracing the ways of the world, embracing the contemporary way, that's not taking hold of wisdom. That's not taking hold of understanding. It's more like putting yourself in a place where a strange woman is going to get your attention. You know, the number one driving force that's leading people into apostasy or away from the Lord and away from the old paths and leading them in this contemporary Christian movement and its music, it's led by sensualism and effeminism. The contemporary Christian music scene is being led by women who have adorned themselves in worldly and fleshly attire. And most of the men that's involved in this, they're trying to look effeminate. You see, the church at Thyatira over in Revelation chapter 2 had this problem, and Jesus will tell them, you need to repent. The church at Thyatira had not kept the commandments. Now, they were strong in some areas. Now, their works, they were doing more than the way they started. I mean, they were moving forward, but there was a problem. They were being led astray by a woman named Jezebel. Find Revelation chapter 2. Keep your place. Now, we're going to be back and forth here, but Revelation chapter 2. And let's start in verse 20. Here Jesus is speaking to the church at Thyatira. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to what? Seduce." To seduce. And who's she seducing? "My servants." To do what? To commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What does it say here in Proverbs, back in Proverbs there, about that strange woman's attire? She was not dressed to go to the temple, but she was dressed to lead simple ones away. The prevailing dress among the contemporary crowd, and that's a carnal, worldly crowd, if you would, is fleshly and is geared towards sensualism. Keep your place here. Like I said, we're going to go back and forth to Proverbs. Go to verse 10 in Proverbs chapter 7. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle in heart. What does the Word of God tell us here? It says that her clothes revealed what she was up to. Anybody that says that clothes do not matter, you're highly mistaken. You're going against the words of God, the truth that comes from God's Word, that clothes do not matter. Do your own research and see the lady that invented the miniskirt and other items and things like that. And see what the purpose behind that was. It was meant for a reason. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 21, look what it says. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Not only did her clothes reveal what she was up to, but her speech revealed her intentions. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. We're comparing these two passages, this strange woman and this Jezebel. Revelation chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 18. And unto the angel, the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Did you notice who will suffer from allowing Jezebel to have her way in the church? Jezebel's going to suffer from it. All those that follow after Jezebel and their children. Verse 22, Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Here we see a warning from Jesus that ought to make anyone that loves the Lord and wants to do right walk a tight line when it comes to allowing any influence in our life from the contemporary Christian movement. The CCM is led by women and effeminism. There's always a dark mood setting. The pink and the purple fluorescent lights, they're mood lights, if you would. Women leading the worship, women in the spotlight, and men in the background with long hair. Look up the picture there of the new co-pastors at Hillsong in Australia. The male or husband there, pastor, he's got as long as hair as his wife. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? It's a shame. And by the way, Jesus did not have long hair because he would not contradict his word. So why does this contemporary pastor there at Hillsong have long hair? What is he promoting? Effeminism, unisex. All of this goes against God's Word, but yet they're supposedly there to worship the Lord, but they're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. It's a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2. What happens to this young man and anyone else that goes down the path of this loud and stubborn woman who is always in the streets, always moving? And by the way, that speaks of the contemporary. Always having to evolve, always changing, never still, constantly moving, always going from this place and that, adapting, whatever it is, whichever which way the wind blows, that's which way they go. But what happens to this young man and anybody else that falls for her seducement? What happens to them? Look at verse 21 in Proverbs chapter 7. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. In the Bible, Jezebel was one of the cleverest and most dangerous women in history. A good, godly woman is the best thing on earth. Women were the last to be at the cross, and they were the first ones to be at the open tomb. The church owes a great debt to faithful women. Our homes owe a great debt to godly wives and godly moms and godly grandmothers. But an evil woman is the most dangerous thing on earth. Ask Solomon about that. In 1 Kings 11:4 it says, "For it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods," little g gods, "and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Jezebel often takes on the form of being very charming and being very intellectual and very cultured and refined, and it would be so anti-world point of view to oppose her. Look at this woman in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 14. Look what she says. "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves." Peace offerings. What's that speak of? Worship. I paid my vows. Hey, I'm good with God. Me and Jesus, we're good. Verse 18, she says, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Oh, look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. What did this Jezebel do in Revelations? What did it say she did? She seduced God's servants with her contemporary, shallow, religious, fair speech, just like this strange woman here in Proverbs did. Oh, hey, come on, man. I've got my peace offerings. Hey, me and God, we're good. You know, most of the contemporary Christian songs today are so shallow. There's very little spiritual depth to them. There's no conviction in the words. There's nothing that stirs our soul or feeds our spirit. The music is the music of the world, which appeals to the flesh. Because that's what gets you swaying to it. That's what gets you moving to it. Why? Because it appeals to your flesh. It's mostly country or slow rock songs, which are all tied to a romantic rock music. It's sensual and it's fleshly. I spoke with a man this week, and he told me that he had visited some of the local churches around here in Myrtle Beach, and while he was at this church service, he heard a supposedly Christian song that had supposedly Christian words in it, but it was put to a Bob Seger tune. To this man, he said, that makes no sense to do that. Our missionary that was here this past week, as he gave his testimony, when he was invited there as a young person to go to a Christian rock concert. Even he didn't really grow up in church, but he was saying he knew that was wrong. That's worldly. That's not how we are to be in the church. And some people may ask and say, well, if it's so bad, then why are so many so-called Christians heading that direction? Why are they turning away from the old paths and turning to this style of music and turning from the commandments and the truth of God's Word? The answer is simple. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What happened to the church in Thyatira? Who were they listening to? Jezebel. Over in Proverbs, Solomon saw a whole bunch of simple ones out there. Among the simple ones, among the youths there, that whole gathering now, not all of them had completely fallen off the deep end. But right here's the problem. But they were among those who were in a position to be influenced by that strange woman. That writer in Proverbs says, son, don't fall for it. He said, hey, get back. Get back to verse 1 through 5 in Proverbs. Jesus took a stand against the church at Thyatira. In the Old Testament, Jezebel was the worship leader in her house. Her name means, where is the prince? Which references Baal. Her husband, King Ahab, was a weak, spineless, spiritual leader. I do not believe that this Jezebel that's mentioned in Thyatira was a single woman. She most likely had a spiritually spineless husband who was most likely had some form of position in the church. Now, it don't say it, but it sure would fit the narrative of the Old Testament Jezebel. It definitely fits the narrative here given to us in Proverbs chapter 7. She said, the good man is gone. I'm in charge. I'm the one making the rules. Just about every modern day female worship leader has a husband, or maybe, or they're just an outright sodomite. She rules her house. She leads her house in worship. She has a weak and spiritually spineless husband who has not kept the commandments and the law. She's wooed him by her fair speech. There was a couple here last Wednesday night on vacation. They were here with their children. And they told me before the service, they said, We come to this church because we're looking for an independent, fundamental Baptist church where the music is right, the King James Bible is being used, where the standards are right, where people are trying to honor the Lord. And may the Lord help us to be that church. Hey, there's people watching. They're watching our church through the casement of their window. Can I just remind you that God is watching? He saw everything that was going on in Thyatira. Oh, Solomon there, as he looked out the casement, as he went, he saw what was going on. That's why it's so important that we be right with God, that our stance be right, that our music be right, that we keep the commandments. Men, make sure that you're leading your home. In all areas, and especially when it comes to leading your family in keeping the commandments and the Word of God. Why is that? Why is it so important? It's because you'll protect them from apostasy. In Proverbs, it wasn't the mom that was talking to the son. Who was it? It was Daddy. It was the Father. Why? Because that was His place to do that. It was the Father who was talking to the Son in the story of the prodigal son. I have all the respect in the world for single moms and moms who are just trying to do right. Maybe there's a situation where maybe her husband doesn't believe or there's something there that just ain't right. And I have all the respect in the world for a mom, a wife that's just trying to do right by God. And I commend them for just loving their family and wanting to do right. But it's the man's job to lead the family. That ain't what's going on now. Most men are led by their wives. That's not the role that God gave men. Men and women are equal. They're equal before God. But God has given men and women different roles and responsibilities. And this world is trying its best to blur the lines between men and women. The whole unisex movement, the transgender movement, the LGBTQ plus movement, the contemporary Christian music movement, they're all going away. They're turning away from the commandments of God. And in Proverbs here, this father is warning his son. In Revelations, Jesus is warning the church not to fall for the Jezebel movement of this day. Why? There's safety in keeping the commandments. There's safety in wisdom and understanding that comes from God's Word. Jesus had given Jezebel of Thyatira time to repent. But here's the problem. It wasn't dealt with. That there was no repentance. She did not repent. You better be careful being that person that will just keep on going even though you know better. But you just keep going in that same position, that same direction. You better be careful. There's a warning for that. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21. Go to Revelation chapter 2. It says, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent to of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." What did it say back over in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 27? It says, "Her house is the way to hell." Going down to the chambers of what? Death. Oh, how we need to just stay with the commandments of God. Let's just stay in the old paths. Let's just stay with the Word of God. Oh, Paul, he warned Timothy of the last days. He told him to just endure. Hey, pray, Timothy, you just keep on preaching the truth. You're going to see people turn away. You're going to see people turn away from the commandments, and people that you know and people that you maybe even preach to, and they're going to turn away. But he said, you just keep on going. Paul warned Timothy of the perilous times that they would come. And can I say, they're here. People would not endure sound doctrine. They'd depart from the faith to find someone who would soothe their itching ears with their fair speech. We're seeing this unfold right before our eyes. We are watching this from the casement, if you would, of our windows. It's just as blatant today as it was in the days of Solomon. In Proverbs, it warns of leaving the commandments and turning to a seducing speech. It appeals to the flesh, not to the truth of God's Word. In Revelations, that church at Thyatira had failed to a Jezebel, a seducer. And she led many away to their destruction. Let's just stay with God's Word. Why is it so important that we stay with God's Word? Because Jesus is coming back. And can I remind you, there is a judgment seat. And each person will appear before Him with what they, and will have to give an account as what they have allowed themselves to be influenced with and what they allowed in their house. Whether they stayed in the truth or they erred away. May the Lord help us to just stay the course. May the Lord help us to just stay in the Word of God.